It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Kane and Bucks. Can't stop addicted
to the shindig. Yes, good morning to you. We've gone in all sorts of different directions this morning. If you're just tuning into us, the Buck Stops here was excellent. Covered a lot of ground. Brisbane, Collingwood. There was a fair bit in that if you want to go back and listen in the podcast. And moments ago, we had a deep dive into what is happening at the Western Bulldogs. We're here for Melbourne Airport Parking. Book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au and for Sonos. Experience game-changing sound this season with Sonos. Still to come, Tom Morris with all the latest news. But right now for Club Tokemoor on the Murray, your next golfing holiday, Tom McDonald, what a performance it was from him individually and the D's as a side, knocking off the undefeated Cats on the weekend. He joins us. Tom, thanks for your time.
Hey, Kane, hey, Bucks, how are you guys?
Well, congratulations on your performance individually. The first person probably to combat Jeremy Cameron this year. Take us inside your preparation leading into that game.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say I've done it individually. We, in an ideal world, in my own head, I probably would have liked to have gone with him all around the ground, because then you feel like you're responsible for him everywhere, like an old school sort of tag. But we sort of had a plan that, look, if he goes up the stoppages and other players will take care of him, and I'll try and catch him on the way back through. And, like, when he does his damage inside 50 or probably inside 70, that's where he's really dangerous. So I was happy to live with him, trying to get the ball up the ground and then try and make it hard for him when he come back through. And it worked for most of the night. He probably got a couple of looks at the end where he slipped out of stoppages and got free. But for most of the night, the plan worked pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrific insight into that in terms of what you have as the importance on his possession. And it takes a bit of trust from your teammates. So just give us an insight into trusting your teammates and letting go a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's exactly that. Look, if they get the job done, it's awesome. If they don't, then you get a bit frustrated. But in the end, it probably comes around to more around the pressure around the ball. And if you win clearances, you win the ball forward, then that takes those guys' impact out around stoppages. It's not just Cameron. Like, Myers does it, Stengel does it. So we had different players on all of those players, and we all just sort of had to back in the mids would do their job. And you've sort of got to have one eye on the ball and one eye on him as he's slipping out, and just being careful for who's coming through. But a lot of teams are doing that now. So every week there's a sort of a dangerous player, like Richmond with Shai Bolton was doing the same thing. So most teams have a player that slips forward for stoppages now.
Congratulations on your performance, mate, and a 13-year career to date that you've moved from defence forward and then now back to defence. Do you think that that's a long-term prospect for you, or do you feel like you're going to be a player who is a bit horses for courses?
Bucks, I don't think I've got a long-term career left anymore. I think it's closer to being finished than it is starting. So, look, I've probably found that playing down back's a little bit easier on me physically than forward. The last year or two, I've had a few foot and ankle injuries, which have been just really frustrating, and have lost, I didn't have a heap, but I lost a little bit of agility from that. And playing down back is a little bit more about cutting angles and reading the play a bit quicker, and I can still use my endurance, which is probably the one thing I've still got. But I've just found it a little bit easier physically, and then having guys like Stevie and Jake help me out makes me look a bit better as well. So I think down back's probably where I'm going to finish now.
I think if you're a part of a defensive unit that's coming together and playing well as a unit, it just looks so strong. Like, the pressure on ball, the rollback when it's required, obviously intercept markers next to you, Lever and May, a couple of young guns, McVee, Rivers in your back six. Going into the game, it must have been a great challenge for you as a defensive group taking on a side in Geelong that had been so dynamic in offence, and you must have been proud with how you stood up.
Oh, you're always nervous going into those sort of games because you're nervous on your own performance. Like, what if someone gets a hold of you, and then you're nervous of the team, like they're kicking 100 points a game most weeks. So Like we're really trying to keep get teams down around 10 goals in a perfect world, even the best side. So you're getting really nervous in the lead up to the game. But as you said, you are so reliant, especially as a last line defender, on the type of ball that comes in, and then can someone come and help you when you're caught in a one-on-one. And luckily, we've got guys who can do that. It's not every week you're not going to have the pressure coming out of the midfield, but when we do, we think we can set up well and help each other in that scenario. But there are times when you're just stuck one-on-one and you just got to find a way to try and bring it to ground and not get done.
And more often than not, Lever or May will be those players that come to support. The discussion around how robust some of the communication is, and those two have been pretty open about that. They argue a little bit. I think even after the win post-Siren, they were still arguing. Is that distracting, or what's it like being inside those conversations with the back six?
Yeah, I think Steve sometimes gets more worked up than he realises. But he calms down when you try and... I think the young boys, probably the Rivers McVee, don't want to go back at him. But Jake will go back at him, and I'm not going back at him. But I start to say, like, Steve, it's okay. They bust a 50-metre ball through the middle. We couldn't do much about that one. And then he goes, okay, it's all right. Like, we'll get the next one. But I think he blows up for 5 seconds, and then he calms down. And Jake's probably the voice of reason sometimes. But I think it's just he just gets so competitive when he walks out there that he forgets what sort of mode Steve's in. But look, you sort of need that as well, because that's how he gets that competitive edge to go against the best guys every week.
I think it's the definition of white line fever, but we see it every week. You get an upfront exposure to it every week. Harrison Petty's game was huge. Can you take us into the four walls and what the community... I mean, you're not sitting there one-on-one with his direct coach, but what would have been the communication to him around his strengths, his role for the team, and why he was being persisted with in that role, and then for him to be able to go out and play as well as he did on the weekend?
Look, I've probably got a unique insight into what he was going through. We both did a Liz Frank injury. Mine was in 22. His was his end of last season. And what I really found is that it took way longer than the 6 months to get back. It was more like a 9 to 12 month injury, because I think his was his jumping foot as well. You lose a lot of confidence through that foot launching at the footy. And even though you're back playing and you maybe, you know, you've hit your markers in the gym, it doesn't quite feel the same until it starts to click on the field. And we'd noticed probably 2 or 3 weeks ago at training, he started really launching at footies and took a few big marks. And I kept on thinking, this is the week, like, it's going to click for him. And it didn't happen on the weekend. And then the next week, another couple of hangers at training. And all of a sudden, you're going, all right, it's coming. Didn't happen that week. And then as soon as the first one happened in the game this week, I thought he's on. And then all of a sudden, he's got 5 or 6 more where he's head and shoulders above the pack. And just looks like, it's like your brain just clicks, yep, my foot can do it again. And I've sort of found that. I probably haven't got all the jump back, but he's a bit younger. So I think it was a mental thing more than anything. I don't think it was coaching or anything like that. It was just back him in. Once he gets that first mark or that first contest where he feels really confident, it'll all come back for him, and that certainly happened.
And you've been on both sides of this. A 50-metre kick into a contest is very different for a key defender versus a key forward, and some guys can't handle one or the other. He obviously is a guy that can handle having a defender behind him and still be able to fly and protect and go highest point.
Well, I think when he was playing back, he was probably playing as probably a similar role to what I'm playing, where it was quite often to seal the defender out and let Jake and Steve come across. And he really didn't put that launching at the ball on show. Once he went forward midway through last year, he had a couple of monster games before he got injured. Like, he kicked 6 against Richmond. He kicked 4 the week or two before that. And you could see the natural forward, like, launching at the footy. Some guys don't like to launch the footy off one foot, which I think you sort of have to as a key forward. And that's what he did really naturally, and that's what came back. But I reckon it's always been in him. It was just the role that he was playing was a different one that probably didn't suit to his strengths of what he really can be.
Melbourne defender Tom McDonald is with us after the D's knocked off the undefeated Cats on the weekend, and he curtailed Jeremy Cameron. After you beat Port Adelaide, I was watching your last quarter as a side. I thought, this is the fittest and hardest unit, or one of, in the game. I thought that really stood out to me, and that's continued for the rest of the year. I don't have your last quarter stats in front of me, but you lost Aaron Burgess a few years ago as your high performance manager. Can you give us an insight into the new guys? Selwyn Griffith, have I got that right? And your program that he has put in place?
I would say, look, Burgo's a gun. I love Burgo. Selwyn came in while Burgo was there and was learning along the way. And I think there was probably we all knew there was a chance Berger was going to have to leave with family reasons, and through the COVID period it was pretty tough. And so Selwyn was sort of being groomed, I think, early. And I would say our program has not changed a lot, to be honest, which is a good thing because Berger is known as one of the best for a reason. And we have a big focus on high speed, not necessarily long distance running, but high speed efforts. And we really value guys who, you know, sprint on offense with speed and then get back on defense and speed. And that's hopefully that's what you see is when the team looks up, the whole team gets back in front of the ball and makes it really hard to move the footy. And that's through high speed running. So that's really our focus. And whether that makes us the fittest or not, I think every team is roughly the same overall fitness, but it's probably more discipline of doing it when you are really tired at the end of the game.
Before we project forward to current affairs and your game against Carlton this Thursday night, I think you're in a unique position. You've probably been, you know, on the chopping block a couple of times in your career, mate, and contract status or potentially moving clubs has been thrown up. That with the long contracts that are being given to players these days, do you feel like sometimes you've been better on the edge, like maybe not having as much of a guaranteed period in the game and having to perform in the short term to earn more time in it? I just wonder what your perspective on that is.
Yeah, look, I've thought about this and I've looked back through my career and I've played some of my best football when I've been out of contract, but then I think my career best year was in 21 when I still had a couple of years left of contract. So I think for me, when I've looked back, it's been not necessarily through need, but just through realising, well, I need to do something differently here. I need to reassess the way I approach the off-season or the way I approach the game mentally. And as you said, it's been through periods of probably down form or injury where I've had to reassess and look at different ways to do things, and that's led to a bounce back in form. And look, if there's one thing I've probably prided myself on, it's being able to have the resilience to bounce back when it hasn't gone my way and not give up. And this year, I think, well, I had blokes coming up to me at the VFL yesterday going, I thought you were done and you were washed up and you were gone. And they said, it's good to see you playing footy again. And look, last year and a half, probably been through injury more so than anything. I've just really struggled and finally been able to get my foot and ankle to a place where I can train and play. And I love training. I love weights. I really hate off-legs training. I hate bike and swimming and that sort of thing. But the last 18 months, I haven't been able to train and do gym like I normally would. And that, I think, really contributed to having some struggles last season.
I think resilience is an underrated quality. It's something you've displayed in spades, and just staying with a problem long enough to solve it. So, well done, mate.
Just finally from me, Angus Brayshaw, is he around the club still? And can you give us an update on how he's going?
Not a lot, to be honest. He comes in occasionally to do some stuff indoors and chat to the boys more on sort of cultural things, but he's taken a bit of a step away just because I think he's still struggling with the fact that it's over for him. And look, we love seeing him, but I think he needs probably a bit of time away to really want to come back again. We don't want to force him in, but I've seen him quite a bit socially, and it's great to catch up with him, but I don't think anyone wants to force him back into being involved in footy until he's really ready for it.
Fair enough, mate. Thank you for the update. 5-day turnaround. You're taking on Carlton on Thursday night. Another massive game for you and the footy club. I don't know, Kurnow or Mackay, be one of those two.
I don't know. They're both just as scared as each other, so I'm terrified either way. But we'll see how we go. We'll find out today. We're going to training after this, and we'll start the planning today because it's only 3 days away. So, that's not a good proposition for either me or Steve, but we'll see how we go.
And you're in good shape as a team. You feel like you're building well into this season. You've had experience with a premiership squad, and you know what that feels like. Much the same?
I would say defensively in a really good spot, and contest-wise, we've been building offensively, which has been probably, you know, a real work in progress. We've tried to be more offensive this season and not be boring and go down the line. So that's led to some mistakes and a few errors. The game against Richmond last week was filled with them. This week was a little bit more efficient, especially in the second half. But that'll be sort of the process of how to get better throughout the year while not sacrificing on the defensive end, because that's really our identity. I think we're the best defensive team in the comp or close to it. So that's the identity, but to really challenge, we know we've got to be probably top four to top six in both areas. And so that's a work in progress, and it's probably not natural to us. You know, we're still known as that contest defense team, but that's the area to keep improving is how do we move the ball? How do we move it quickly without opening ourselves up the other way?
It's called the Premiership window, Kane.
Tune in on the couch to get an update on the Premiership window tonight. Terrific chat, Tom. Congratulations, mate. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Right, I appreciate having me on.
Tom McDonald there. What a performance. Honest chat, too.
Yeah, he's been in the game for 13 years. So he's only played more than 10 games one of the last five seasons, including this year, given his injury concerns. And sometimes it's been selection and is there a spot for him? But I had a chance to speak with him a couple of times in the hub when we were up in Queensland. We were in the same resort as Melbourne through 2020. And just a really solid, mature individual, a young man who has got the most out of his ability and contributes really well to his club. And he's more than just a footballer, which is evident in the way that he carries himself.
And he joined us thanks to Club Token Wall, Australia's premier Murray River golfing destination with two top 40 golf courses. Talk to the golf package team today. Tom McDonald, our guest.